Somebody else said, mentioned singing a song tonight. Not me. Somebody else mentioned them singing a song tonight. We'll do that at the end, toward the end of the service, so I haven't forgotten about you. Take your Bible this evening and go to Romans chapter number 8. If you don't, if you hadn't read Romans chapter number 8 in a while, you should entreat yourself. Tremendous, tremendous chapter in the Word of God. I have a different kind of message this evening. I don't normally preach this style of preaching, but I usually write an outline and go through that way. But I've got about 7 thoughts that I've wrote down this evening, and Lord willing, we'll get to all of them. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on any of them, but what I'm going to be dealing with this evening is so critical to the Christian life. I believe probably more people than not struggle with what I'm preaching on this evening. I'm sincere about that. I believe if you can get victory over what I'm going to deal with this evening, you will far outseed what most Christian people do or rarely ever get out of this thing. I believe the devil takes something we're dealing with and our flesh also and manipulates our minds to thinking away. And I don't think it's scriptural. And so we're going to look at it. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1. The Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation." Well, he could just stop right there and shout and go home. No condemnation. Not some, not partial, not most. No condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So that'll be our text verse this evening. And I'm interested in that word condemnation. And I got to thinking about condemnation. And it is, you'd be amazed at how much that word plays in your life. And it don't have to. The Lord died so we wouldn't have to deal with condemnation. But it is absolutely a faithful member of our church. It shows up in your life, in my life. I fight it constantly. And so I want to look at a few contrasts this evening between condemnation and conviction. I think we need to understand what condemnation is. And I believe we sure need to understand what conviction is. But we cannot afford to let them two get crossed up and let one play the role of another in our life, because it's detrimental. It will depress you. It will stunt and stop our Christian growth when we allow condemnation to take hold and root in our life. So let's look at this a few minutes. Here we are confronted with a word, the word condemnation. And I feel like it needs to be expounded a little more. We all sin. Can we agree there? Amen. We all sin. I hope this evening there ain't somebody in here who is so ignorant or prideful to say you don't have an issue and a problem with sin. Because we do. And there's some good godly people in here. But we all sin. And we all have to deal with sin. So if we do have to deal with sin, we should know how to deal with it. Wouldn't you agree? I think so. And we ought to see what God says about it and how we ought to think. Thinking, our thinking leads to our behavior. How we think on something, how we perceive something, that's how we behave. So it's critical we understand what God says, not what we've been taught, not what we think. We dealt with that this morning. Not what we think, but what God said. And he makes it clear. How many of y'all started out this verse? There is therefore now no condemnation. Amen. That sounds simple. Most of you could quote that, as I could. There is therefore now no condemnation. Listen, if you saved, there is no condemnation. That's what that says to those that are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ, there is no condemnation. So why would we allow condemnation to live in our life? Is it of God? Obviously not. Are God's words not true? Because according to God's word, there is therefore now no condemnation. But I'm going to show you some characteristics of condemnation and let you see how it camouflages itself and creeps into our lives and sucks the life out of our Christian life. It absolutely does. It's a terrible thing. So, we all deal with sin, and we need to learn how to deal with it. I heard about a watermelon farmer, and he had a watermelon patches all down his farmland. And he was walking down through there one day, and there was one of his gardens full of watermelons. And he saw this little bitty boy standing over eyeballing a watermelon. And that farmer walked up to that boy and said, "Hey, son, you trying to steal one of my watermelons?" And that little boy looked and thought for a minute and looked at that watermelon. He said, "No, I'm trying not to steal one of your watermelons." My point is, it matters how we perceive things. Yeah. So we could say we don't deal with condemnation, but we do. We absolutely do. And so conviction and condemnation, these, we're constantly dealing with sin. So if we do, there's two things, two words that always comes along with sin, and that's conviction. I'm talking about to save people. When we sin, there's two things that always comes along with that, and that's condemnation and conviction. And it's important we understand the difference. It's essential we understand the difference. Condemnation is guilt, or the carrying of guilt. Conviction is the convincing of a guilt. Conviction is when God puts his finger on a sin in your life or in mine and says, "You need to deal with that." That's conviction. Only two things condemn us, according to the Bible. Our sin condemns us, and our heart. The Bible says our heart condemns us. Listen to this verse, John chapter 3, verse 17. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world from condemnation. Yes. So the second one says sin, that our heart. 1 John chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." That's important. Amen. Yes, sir. That verse has said that our heart can condemn us. Yes, sir. Amen. And if our heart condemn us not, then we can have confidence toward God. So we need to get to a place where we're not allowing our heart to condemn us. Yes. We need to get to a place where we're not allowing sin to condemn us. But that's going to happen occasionally. We're going to sin, and sin condemns. We've got to learn how to deal with that. Conviction, that's what God sent conviction to give us an out from sin and the condemnation of it. But right here, the heart, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Why would your heart condemn you? Well, when we sin, our heart, it can't condemn us. It's aware of what we've done. Your heart, listen, the heart can be identified as your intellect. It's important you get this. You hear this all the time in church and from preachers and Sunday school. In the church, you hear your heart. It's a matter of the heart. It's the Bible speaks of your heart over and over. So what is your heart? You need to know what your heart is. You need to know how to treat your heart and how to... you need to understand your heart. What is your heart? It is your intellect. Right. It is your the seat of your emotions. It is your will. That's your heart. Amen. Keep that in mind as we go through this. That is critical because your heart can condemn you. Right. Not always right. Yeah. And it will condemn you. And therein lies the problem. We let it condemn us when we shouldn't. When it has no right to condemn us, it does, and we let it, and we believe it. And knowing that the Bible says, Brother Ned, that our heart is wicked, desperately, and it deceives us, and it lies to us, it's messed up, and we believe it. And if you think, hey, if you think your heart will lie to you about some things and deceive you and get you in all kind of trouble, and it won't use condemnation, oh, it will. It will condemn you. It will make you feel guilty for no reason when God has already paid for your sin and God has already delivered us and given us a way, an outlet of conviction to deal with sin. But here we hang under the condemnation, under the weight, under the guilt of condemnation because our heart throwed its long finger at us and said, guilty. That's right. Well, our intellect will pop up and say, you know that was wrong. Emotionally, we will feel like it was wrong and that we have sinned. And let me say this, just to, if there's somebody lost listening, I'm not speaking to you in this context this evening, but if you're lost, you're not dealing with a guilty conscience. You're dealing with a guilty soul that must put faith and trust in Christ and repent of who you are. Be born again. What I'm dealing with this evening is to the saved man or woman, boy or girl. And condemnation has no place in the life of the child of God. We shouldn't let condemnation dwell in our life. It's living rent free and robbing us blind. Yeah. Condemnation is that guilt that hangs on to you. But conviction is when God puts His finger on a sin and pushes us to get right with God. That's conviction. Number three, if you was here this morning, start out at number three. Number one, condemnation always shows you what you have done. Amen. Conviction always shows you what you need to do. See the difference? Condemnation says, you did this. Conviction says, you did that, but you need to do this. Condemnation will leave you in that hole feeling guilty and sorry for yourself. Conviction will say, you in that hole, but there's Christ. Run to Him. Repent of your sin. Go to Christ and get forgiven. That's a big difference there. One leaves you there, and one delivers you out of there.
That's good.
Yeah. So, condemnation will rise up and remind you of that sin you did last week, last year, 10 years ago, and will work as a boulder to weigh you down with it and keep you feeling guilty and useless. Now, if you don't battle that, pray for us who do. I still wake up, Brother Jimmy, some nights, cold sweat, just dreaming things in my past, and wake up and thank God it was a dream. Because deep down in my heart, I know that that dream was predicated on truth in my past. And I'll tell you, it bothers me. It makes me feel guilty. And I have pled the blood over that. And I have asked God to forgive me of that stuff. Amen. And it's under the blood. And therefore, there is now no condemnation for my past. Amen. But yet, condemnation will throw that long arm out at me and say, guilty. And try to throw that noose around my neck and weigh me down and slow me down as well as He will you in your Christian life. And He's become a master at it. That's right. What did Jesus say? I come to give you life. Life more abundant. Jesus don't want you straddled down with the weight of condemnation. He came to die. To deliver us from condemnation. Yes. So you see how this is not from God. This low level thinking that is hamstringing and holding back the people of God is not of God. It ain't from God. It's critical we get our doctrine right, because our beliefs dictate our behavior. And so, conviction tells us about our sin and quickly pivots. Oh, conviction ain't going to overlook sin. No, 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 you misunderstood. Conviction will absolutely confront sin, but it quickly pivots and points you to Christ. You didn't hear condemnation say nothing about Jesus. Maybe other than, well, you know, that's what nailed him to the tree, you sorry devil. But it ain't going to point you to Jesus as a way of deliverance. No, conviction will, though, and quickly. Amen. And I'll say more about that in a minute. I got to hurry. It's better than I thought. Condemnation says, you didn't. Condemnation says, you did this. Conviction says, you need to do this. Condemnation number two. Condemnation offers us no resolution. Conviction offers repentance. That's right. Condemnation will leave you high and dry and say that say things like, you're always going to struggle with that sin. You know you ain't going to get past that. I mean, look how long you've been living there. Look how long you've been falling to that. That's what condemnation says. Conviction, however, says, and there's no resolution in what condemnation is offering. Conviction offers repentance. Condemnation says, you a liar, you a drug addict, you a drunk. You a train wreck, you a mess, no matter how long you've been right, it declares you are still that person. That's what condemnation declares and offers no resolution. Conviction, however, leads us to a place of repentance. Repentance, listen, this is very important. If you're going to get this message, repentance is not based on emotion. That is absolutely critical. You've seen these people get caught and cry you a river. I mean, you talking about emotional? They'll get emotional. They'll squall and cry, beg, plead, and bargain. And it's emotional. It's absolutely emotional. That don't bit more mean it was repentance than a man in the moon. Because repentance is not based out of emotion. What did we say emotion was? The heart. The heart can be identified as the intellect, the emotion, and the will. And so when we are operating and letting our heart dictate when we repent, we are headed for trouble. Amen. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to say more about that in a minute. Conviction leads us to a place of repentance. Repentance is not an emotional condition. Emotion does not gauge the depth of repentance. I have done this. I have repented before. And not wept a tear. I knew it was wrong. The Holy Spirit convicted me it was wrong. I had godly sorrow, but I didn't weep over it. I didn't have any emotion over it. I just said, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. How dare I do that? Lord, help me never do that again. And there have been times I've wept like a baby. Knew I was wrong. Felt bad about being wrong. I was guilty. But I did not repent. My mind didn't make, my heart, my soul didn't change.
Right.
There was no repentance. You know what repentance is? Simply, it's a change of direction. It's a military term. It's an about face. I'm going to say something about the heart in a minute. I hope we all get, because it's critical. Your heart don't necessarily repent when you do. It may have to catch up with you down the road. Because your heart, the seat of your emotion, the intellect, and your will may still be loving that stuff, and you done repented and went from it. And it may have to catch up with you down the road.
Helping me,
preacher. Good. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good.
Well, if we repent based on emotion, based on what your heart's telling you to do, listen, the same emotion that drove you to repent is the same emotion that will drive you back to sin. Yeah. Biblical repentance is a change in direction. Repentance is not even a change of heart. It's a change in direction. Real repentance may take place, but it may take time for it to catch up with heart. Take a heroin addict. A heroin addict, they love what they're doing. You ever seen one? They love that mess. They love it, and they live it, and they live for it. Remember, the heart is their emotion, their intellect, and their will. So their will has chosen that drug, heroin. That's what they wanted. That's what they started doing. That's what they're still doing. They love it. Their heart, their emotions wakes them up and tells them, give me more. Go do what you have to do to get me more. Their intellect gives them ways to go get it. Their heart's driving them to that drug. That's right. Now, listen. Their intellect will tell them, you cannot live without this. And their will go get it. So their heart is in love with this drug. You see that? But maybe they lose it all. Wife says, I've had enough. Can't live this way no more. Their body's racking in pain and DTN, and they're out of money, and their life's in a mess. And they see finally, they've been took to the lowest rung, and they see what this sin has done to them. And they say, I can't live like this no more. This ain't right. This is robbing me of my life. This is robbing me of my family. This is killing me. I can't live this way no more. I got to go check into a rehab. And they leave the streets and they go check into the rehab. They make a good decision. They wanting to get away from that. And they say, I'm going to go do the other way. Listen. Please listen. 3 days go by. They're detoxing. They're in rehab. Not a lot's changed. They're trying to make moves and trying to make lifestyle change, but it's only been 3 weeks now. And can I tell you, in their heart, they still love heroin. Their body still longs for it. Their mind still thinks about it. Their mind still says, you may make it in here, but you'll never make it out there. I'm not giving you something I read in a book. I'm telling you what's real. Amen. That is how your mind thinks. Yes, that is how your heart thinks. That is how your will operates. Yes, saved. Yes, saved people can really mess up and really get in a mess. Amen. And saved people need to repent. And saved people don't need to live under condemnation, because condemnation ain't going to deliver nobody. Amen. Saved people need to get under conviction and be delivered. But I'm talking about the heart. I'm talking about the heart. That heart still got their mind on that heroin, even though they've done made a decision to get away from it. And they're in a place and they're detoxing and they're doing everything they know to do right. Their heart, their mind, and their will still craves it. 3 weeks in. A month in. They make it 90 days. And they graduate the program. And it's time to go home. It's been 3 months. Are you listening? Anybody that's ever messed with drugs knows this, or alcohol, or any illicit sin. When you go back home and you get out of that protected environment, and there's all your friends, and there's all the dealers, and there's all the hangouts, and there's all the ways that you can make a mess, your heart's still saying, there it is! Your mind's saying, there's how I can get it, and your will wants it. Yeah. 3 months in. So what's this got to do? I'm not trying to depress you. I'm trying to show you how it really is. You can't trust your heart. I'm saying your heart may have to catch up with you. Now, here's that heroin addict. He made it through that time. It's been 90 days. Now it's been 3 years. Listen to me. 3 years. Now he's got a wife back. Now he's got two little children. Now he's got a brand new pretty home. He's got a job. He's working, and he sits down and comes and just looks at all God's done for him 3 years in. Yeah. And he says, man, I'm so glad I'm not a heroin addict anymore. Now his heart's changed. But it took a while. Now he can see. Now he's out of the minutia. And God's let him see and grown him. But it didn't happen like that. It don't happen like that. It don't. It don't. And so you cannot trust your heart. That heart may not be where it needs to be for repentance. So what do? They repented way back there and turned, but their heart took time to catch up. If you are waiting on your heart to repent, you're headed for a mess. Because your emotion, intellect, and will can become so addicted to sin and the feelings of sin that you are waiting on your heart to turn, and it may never. You can't wait on your heart to repent. You can't wait till it feels right to do it. You don't repent when it feels good. You repent when you know it's right and the Lord conviction puts his finger and says that ain't right. Whether you feel like it or not, that's when to repent. And the longer you go without repenting, the longer I go without repenting, the more chance that condemnation will scoot its way in, the more chance that you will get away from conviction, because conviction comes soon. God's faithful to his children. That's right. Here's how we repent. We examine our life and actions with the Word of God. Not because something felt wrong or felt right, but we examine our life and actions with the Word of God. And if what I am doing defies the Word of God, that's all the basis I need to right then and there repent if I'm contrary to the Word of God. There don't have to be a feeling. I don't have to have some kind of enlightenment. No, my friend. When I'm contrary to God and His Word, then and there, it's time to repent. Say, I'm going the wrong direction. Stop and turn. Then, the longer you go down that road, the harder it is to repent. That's right. Then we come into agreement with God. Say, God's Word says that. I've been doing that. It ain't enough. Please hear this. Please hear this. It ain't enough to just say it. I agree with you, God. You got to really agree with Him. I'm going to speak about that word in a minute. Confession. I never looked up that word. Ever. I should have. I'm supposed to study to show myself approved. Right in the Bible. I'll just tell you, you know what the word confess means? This was good. Con. Break it down. Confess. Con means repeat. Fess means speak. Say what God said about it. Agree, align with God and what He said. In other words, say about your sin exactly what God said about your sin. Come into agreement with Him about your sin. 1 John 1, if we confess, it ain't just if we say, it's if we agree and say with God about what He said. I'm gonna give you an illustration about that in a minute. It explains that better. No matter how much we like it or how good it feels or if it's costing me to be right with you, I'm changing directions is repentance. By faith, I'm trusting that one day my heart will catch up with my actions. So conviction brings us to a place of repentance. Condemnation never gives you that option. Amen. Number three. Good night. Time is flying. I got to really speed up. So y'all got to listen fast. Condemnation focuses on guilt. Conviction focuses on grace. That's right. This is how you tell the difference. Condemnation will leave you with a cloud of rejection and feeling like there's no way out and nothing will ever change and you will carry that guilt from now on. That's what condemnation does. But conviction ushers us to a place where the grace of God abounds and can transform your life. The Holy Ghost does not convict us to tell us that we cannot change. He convicts us to tell us how we can change. Yes. Just a word to encourage you about the time. My iPad's dying faster than I'm preaching, and I need it tonight. So if it gets done before I do, we'll be done. I do, however, have a backup on my phone. Let me hurry. The whole 2 Corinthians 7:9-10. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. God does not bring us bring conviction to make us feel bad. He brings conviction to make us feel better. And we always hear about, oh, I got under conviction, Holy Ghost conviction, and I was so miserable. That's part of it, but God didn't send conviction your way to make you feel bad. He sent conviction to make you feel better.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And so there is a huge difference. Let me hurry. The answer is not to live under guilt, but to run to the grace of God and get your sin dealt with. Some of us have lived for years under the thumb of condemnation, carrying the guilt for something that has long been forgiven. That is the truth. Stop living under guilt and start living under the grace of God. It will deliver you. Condemnation asks questions. Conviction makes statements. Condemnation will say, do you really think God could or would forgive you for that sin? Condemnation says, do you think you could ever get this settled or under control? But the Holy Ghost comes in conviction. He grabs those question marks, those questions that the condemnation throws your way, and he yanks on the tail of them and pulls them into exclamation points and makes statements with those questions. God will forgive you. When condemnation is asked, do you think God could ever forgive you? Conviction stands up and boldly proclaims, God will forgive you. Amen. The devil says, do you think you could ever change? And God says, I can change anybody. I'm saying there is a bold difference. The devil says, do you think you will ever have hope? God says, there is hope in Christ.
Amen.
Yes. Number 5, condemnation points to you. Conviction points to Christ. If your condition leaves you feeling that it's all about you, listen to this. That's a sure sign. It ain't from God. Think about that. When you sit around and you are meditating and pondering and you feel terrible, and it will depress you. If you love God and condemnation is hanging over your head and guilt, I don't care. It bothers me. I hate it. It makes me feel terrible. When I give more time and attention to what I've done, and I get to thinking, oh, woe is me. How dare me? I'm no good. I can't serve God. God would never use me. Goodness, look how wretched I am. You ain't long to be depressed going down that road. Right. Letting him live in your house and hang and have your ear to talk to you, condemnation will put you in an early grave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That ain't of God, though. You know that is a indicator. When you're thinking and it's all about you and you ain't heard nothing about the Lord, ding, 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 Johnny, we have a winner. That is not of God. Because the Lord, when he comes in conviction, he always points to Christ.
Amen.
He always gives you a way out. He always says there's forgiveness, there's healing, there's grace, there's mercy, there's love. Condemnation? No, just guilt. Guilt, you sorry devil, how dare you? You ain't nothing, you will never be nothing. See how the devil takes on that and uses that like an Uzi in our life? Yes. But when it's all about you, it ain't of God. Next time you're thinking this, oh, woe is me. Me. Poor, pitiful me. I'm sorry. I'm terrible. I'm no good. Hello?
Preach, preacher.
Amen. That ain't of God.
Amen.
That ain't of God. You know why? Because there is now. Therefore, no condemnation. That's right. This, goodness, sweat, spit, one of the two. This is how silly we are. Look, we sin against God, then we beat ourselves up for sinning against God, and then we pout because we sinned against God. Tell me that ain't true. Maybe you don't do that, but I do. I will mess up and sin, and then I'll beat myself up for sinning. And then I'll sit in the corner and pout that I sinned. And it robs me of time, dear time, that I could be serving God. And the devil, if you don't think the devil knows that and manipulates that and adds that on,
yes, sir. Sure,
and inflates condemnation and guilt because he knows it works well.
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, the more condemnation hangs out, the less conviction has an opportunity. That's why you need to dispel condemnation and receive conviction. Amen. It started, the sin that we done, it started with us, we done it. It escalated with us, it ends with us. Now we're pouting because it's all about us. That's how we are. And God didn't have any part of that, do you see? From the start to the end, it's been about you. That ain't of God. Do you see these little telltale signs, how you can determine what is and what is not? What you should entertain? Conviction. And what you should dispel and not give that the time of day. And that's condemnation. And they're not always easily set apart. That's why we need to train our mind with the Word of God to set them apart, because they are robbing us blind. Well, we will stop praying. Well, listen, when you get feeling guilty and woe is me and poor mouth, tell me this don't happen. You ain't as apt to pray.
You're right, preacher.
Well, Lord ain't going to hear me.
That's right.
Why should I even get down to pray? He ain't going to hear me pray. Goodness, bad as I am. Next thing you do is just put that Bible down. Quit praying. Quit reading your Bible. Won't be long. It's easier to skip church because you're living with that guilt. You'd be amazed at how many people got out of church just like that. Holding on to something that God doesn't forgive, and they letting it live free and wreck their life. I mean, sin's bad enough the first time. Don't let it stay. God made a way to deal with that and move on. Amen. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times, but he rises again. Don't just stay down there where you fell. We fall and we just pity ourselves down there and lay there. When you quit getting up, you are a failure. A just man falls 7 times, but rises again. Listen, I'm saying to you, you ain't a failure if you keep getting up. Okay, how many times you fail? I don't have the numbers on this right here, and I got to hurt. But I heard this just recently. Somebody was talking about Michael Jordan, and he was awesome. I think he's the best ever. LeBron James, you little punks. Please. Please. But I'm saying, they said, he's the greatest ever. Michael Jordan said this. He said, I can't believe people talk about how great I am. He said, they don't realize Coach put the ball in my hands 27 times at the end of the game, and I missed. They don't talk about that. They only put on highlight reels the ones I hit. He said, I missed. He memorized how many shots he missed, not just at the end of the game. They don't talk about how many shots I missed.
Yeah.
And he went on and on and on, just saying, the reason they call me the greatest is because I failed more than anybody else. There's so much truth to that.
Amen.
Just getting something deep down in you that says, I ain't quitting. I don't care how many times I fall, fail. I'm going to get up by the grace of God.
Amen.
And go again.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
As long as you keep getting up, you ain't a failure.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, let me bring this plane in. I was rushing. I'm not a rusher. I was rushing. My time was running. I was hurrying, typing stuff. Like, and I can't read what I wrote. I started typing on this thing so I could read what I wrote. Because I can't read my writing. And I can't read what I typed. And that ought to be a great evidence to us. Oh, that ought to be a great evidence to us that the guilt didn't come from God, but that from the flesh and the devil, that has hijacked it and is using it to drive us further from God. Because guilt in our life that don't take us to Christ and leaves us further from Him ain't of or from Him. That's right. When you hear this, well, I've just always struggled. My daddy made me this way. Well, I guess it's as good as it gets. You're living under condemnation, and your whole life revolves around you. And that guilt starts with you and consumes you and comes back to you. And it's all about you. And that ain't conviction. That's condemnation. As I said earlier, conviction will always involve Christ. Condemnation will always involve just you. And that's a quick insight to jump off that train. Don't go down that road any further. Conviction does not lead back to us. It leads to Christ. Conviction points to Christ and says, confess it, get it right, live for the Lord, stop sinning, go to church, read your Bible, pray. That's what conviction says. Real conviction will never lead back to self-centered life, but to a Christ-centered life. Amen. Number six, the condemnation annihilates your praise. Conviction amplifies your worship. Amen. Oh, that's so true. Condemnation says, get your hand down. Who do you think you are putting your hand up in church? Don't you know what you did? How many times have you ever wanted to say, thank you, Lord? You know, oh, goodness, I'm terrible. I shouldn't thank the Lord. I can just say that out loud one time. I shouldn't thank the Lord. We're not thanking you, Stephen. This ain't about you. It's about Him. I'm raising my hand to Jesus because I'm on the bottom end of that. I'm the one who has fallen. When they sang that song, He never gave up. Just raise a little higher because He never gave up.
Amen. Hey, thank God.
Amen. That's right. It ain't about you. Condemnation, it'll annihilate your praise. Conviction will amplify worship. Condemnation say, you stinking hypocrite. You ain't got no business praising God. Conviction says, raise it, say it, shout it, bow. Yeah. He still loves you no matter what. He still has grace and mercy. Condemnation won't even let you worship. Condemnation won't even let you worship the Lord by yourself riding down the road. Have you ever? Not for nobody, but you and the Lord riding down the road, and you know there's something in your life that you need to get right. Can I say this? I'm about done, I promise. I ain't preached this long in a long time. Y'all chill out. I've been ruining y'all. My wife will tell you, she will stand and testify. Brother Ned, I have been riding down the road some of the sweetest, best times I've ever had with Jesus was not in a church building. Not with 200 or 300 people. Not when a preacher was preaching or singers were singing. Not even in an altar. Some of the best times I've ever had with the Lord was me by myself.
Sure.
Nobody around. And me not expecting Him. And me being on about my own business, knowing I didn't deserve Him. I didn't deserve His presence. I knew I had sinned. I sure didn't deserve His presence. And then, before, I'm telling you, God be my witness, before I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Before I repented.
Sure.
While I was still in my sin.
Yes, sir.
God get in my truck and just overwhelm me with the grace and goodness of God. And His presence was unmistakable. And before I could know it, I know I'm just squalling. Thinking, why would you come to me like this? I mean, I didn't go through the steps of saying, I'm sorry. I didn't repent yet, Lord. Don't the Bible say? He'll just say, hush, I'm here. And you can't tell Him to leave. But in the process of that, I promise you, that conviction is so sweet. And He's like, I know you.
Amen.
Before you said it, I know what you did. I know who you are. I'm your father. I love you, and I still came to you. Remember that prodigal son? He came home smelling like a pig, smelling like a pigsty, had been out and spent, made a waste of it all, and the father still ran on him and fell on his neck and kissed him. Yes, I'm saying God the Father will do that.
Amen.
I don't care. Well, I got my preaching points down. I got it all down. I know what the Bible says, but I'm still telling you, God will come up in your business when you ain't expecting it and bring conviction, and that'll be the most sorry you've ever been. The most sweetest it's ever been, and you ain't going to feel so terrible bad. You're just going to be grateful that you're in the presence of God.
Yes, amen.
That's what conviction does.
Right.
And you talking about worship? I didn't shout. I'm going to tell you what, when it's that real, I can't hardly open my mouth.
Amen,
I can't say nothing. I know some of y'all don't believe that because I'm a preacher. I don't say nothing. I just sit there and squall and wonder, oh, you better read my heart, Lord, because I can't say nothing. It's that real. It's that real. And that's conviction ushering you into the presence of God and showing you just how really good He is. That grace is really better than we can understand. Mercy is really more abundant than we can explain.
Yes, sir.
His love is that real.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, all right, that's my second notification. My battery's done. That means it's down to seconds. Rejoice, not because you are a good Christian, but because He is a good God. Drop the guilt, lose the condemnation, look for real conviction, and standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Jesus. Last, conviction leads to confession. Listen, conviction leads to confession, and confession cancels out condemnation. That means if you confess, if you agree with Him and speak it, confess. Anything on the other side of that conversation, past that point in the conversation, is taking you down a road that you don't mean to be traveling. It's over. 1 John 1:9 is still in the Bible. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to cleanse us.
Yeah.
Forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, it don't matter what you've done. He will forgive you. I don't care what the brethren say. I don't care what Baptists say. I know what the Bible says. I know what God has done for me. And I'm telling you, if He can forgive me, He can forgive anybody for anything. And so it's important we confess our sin. Conviction leads to confession. Anything on the other side of that confession has been canceled. It's just a guilt trip that none of us need to go on. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you confess it, there is a remedy. Confess does not mean to admit sin. A lot of folk confess sin and are proud of it in 2020. They'll tell you all they've done. Confess, as I told you, means, confess means to say the same thing as God said about it. I'm closing. Let me give you this illustration. I said I was going to illustrate this. Brother Stephen's got a Bible laid right there. So, say, yeah, give it to me. This is my Bible. Woo! Stephen, give it to me. It used to be his. Now, he would say, I stole it. But I said, he give it. Now, in me saying that this used to be his Bible, but now it's mine, I'm saying and confessing and out loud saying that I took it. But you saying that I stole it. And I'm not saying that I stole it. I'm saying you give it. So I'm not repeating. I'm not saying the same thing as he said. See that? Now, 2 or 3 weeks down the road when I get under conviction, and the Lord tells me I have to give him his Bible back, I'm going to go to him and say, Brother Stephen, he was right. I stole it. Now I'm saying the same thing he said. We're in agreement. I didn't just say something out loud and that means sort of something. I agreed exactly what, and now we're right.
You're helping me.
See what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
That's what confession is. That's how we got to get with God.
Right.
We can't say, I know the Bible says that, but no, you agree with him about what he said. And if he said it, then turn from it, repent of it.
Amen.
See the difference in conviction? And condemnation?
Sure.
There is therefore now no condemnation.
Amen.
But ain't you glad there is right now conviction? There is. Let's stand together. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for conviction. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you didn't come into the world to condemn the world. But Lord, that the world through you might be saved, God. God, thank you, Lord God, for being so good to us, Lord. I pray, oh God, you'd help somebody. God, help somebody as you've helped me, Lord, through these little truths, God. Thank you for the word of God. I pray you would set us free, God. Help us live for you this week. I pray, God, you'd go with us, go before us, Lord. Help us, God, to sell out to you, God. Help us not to live under the guilt of sin, not to carry it into this week. But God, help us right now, God, to fully believe and agree with you, God, that your blood does forgive sin. Help us confess it, turn from it. We love you and thank you. In Christ's name.
In the courtroom sits God Almighty as a judge upon his throne. Holiness is all around him as he judges. Satan is the old